Yeah, I think this new the mics are on right now. What I can do is just take them off. Yeah. So now that 2021 has come and gone, and yeah, we're trying something out a little bit new. You know, we're gonna have the camera set up. We're going to start doing all these videos. I'd like to do every single podcast like as a video, because it's a double, you know, double-edged sword for us. So, I mean, honestly, it took me like 20 minutes to get this freaking
new toys. Got to play with it.
Yeah. It took me a while to get all the stuff set up because I was having issues, but, I mean, I guess here we are. So, I guess we could talk about the first part was like what is going on with the end of last year. It's a lot of changes that were coming around, some of the market stuff that was happening.
Well, in 2021, as a company, we did a lot of big things. We did a school supply drive for a school that the primary demographic is at or below the poverty line. And we were able to fill the needs of almost 100 students, so filling the gap so teachers didn't have to cover that. So we did that. We did 10,000 meals to the food bank. We also gave back over $30,000 to the community and our clients last year. So that's pretty huge. And then going into, well, at the end of and now rolling into this year, we procured right at the end of the year a moving truck. So it's getting wrapped right now. We just finalized the final details this morning, actually. And in about 2 weeks, we should have or so, plus or minus.
Yeah, I think he said the way the process is working, like once we finalize that last revision, he said it'll take him like 3 days to get the final thing. I don't know how they do it. It's some kind of digital. They digitize the artwork.
Right.
And then they actually print the artwork there. And I don't know if you guys have seen the side of a 16-foot box truck, but it's probably eight foot tall.
Yeah.
From bottom to top.
Easily.
So they print, you know, this in big pieces, and they roll it, and then they're going to mail it off from Minneapolis. And then it'll come here to Bernie. And then their local installer is going to put the wrap on the truck. And he told me that it would, hopefully by the end of the month, we'll have it ready.
That'd be sweet. So if you buy, sell, or rent with us, you get the truck for free. And then we are going to rent it out cheaper than U-Haul. So if you're in the local area and we're thinking about doing a U-Haul, come on over to us. You'll get it cheaper, and you're supporting a local small business that's veteran-owned. So a win-win for everybody.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, as far as 2021 goes, I think overall market information that we were seeing is like we were hoping to see a little bit of a slowdown, but I honestly didn't really see a very much of a slowdown at all. It was kind of like the whole year long, it was kind of flatlined, like wide open.
Right, throttle's wide open.
Yeah, throttle's just wide open. So I did have one listing. It was kind of like in a niche market. Higher price point, and those always have some weird, you know, timing that goes on with it. But the other ones that I had marketed and on list, they went under contract really quickly. So
yeah, so the average days on market right now is 18 days. So that's phenomenal, because most of the houses are going in the short term. You still have those that are overpriced, because everybody's still trying to play the market. There's usually, because I do a weekly update for my clients, and I post it on my YouTube channel, and there's always a few hundred price changes.
Yeah.
And that's indicative of being priced too high. So a lot of people are trying to, you know, push the market. They think their house is worth more than what it really is. The market's telling them it's not. Like if your house is sitting on the market for 30 or 40 days in this market, your house is overpriced or it's in bad condition for the price, which means it's overpriced. So if your house is not moving, it's overpriced. It's just that simple in this market. I just put a rental property on the market yesterday and I already got an application on it. So even the rental market's moving very hot. The median home price was in the 270s at the beginning of 2021, and it's now right around 318, 320 is the median sales price for homes in the San Antonio area. So a huge, huge boost in equity. I saw a statistic. It came out from CoreLogic. Not sure how accurate it is because, I mean, I don't know how they have my data, but CoreLogic, just basically it pulls data and analyzes it. And there's still over $56,000 in equity is what they project every homeowner to have.
Yeah.
Right now, at least it's $56,000 in equity. Now, granted, if you bought a house yesterday, you don't have $56,000 in equity. But you know, if you own your home for a year or more, the chances are that you probably have a good chunk of change because the San Antonio market went up 27%. And value.
That's insane.
Yeah.
To be honest, if you think
usually
about
it's 3 to 5%.
Yeah.
It went up to 27% pretty much across the whole area from June of 2020 to June of 2021. Okay. So the 27%, if you own a house that was $100,000, it's now $127,500, right? To just kind of give you an example, just like overnight. The market, I've been doing a lot of every day I'm sitting there looking at stuff. And they're projecting that more sellers are going to list their homes this winter, which is going to kind of slow down the multiple offer scenarios. Most of the last year, most houses were getting between 6 and 7 offers on average.
Yeah.
Some of them were more. I went to go put an offer in on a property. They had 10 offers on the first day. So that means they were priced too low. More than likely, but they got more than what they listed for, I can guarantee you. But they're projecting about 3 to 4 offers per listing. So still going to have a lot of up-tempo, but it should not be as crazy as it was in 2021 from what the analysts are saying right now.
Yeah, and I mean, they were talking about, you know, Fed increasing rates, and I think a lot of people don't really understand. They think if the Fed raises the rates, they directly correlate to mortgage interest rates, which it doesn't. It can follow sometimes the uptrend, but the mortgage lending rates are different than what the Fed's rates are.
They are. Later in 2021, they're projecting that the interest rates could be up to about 4.5% to 4.6% by the end of 2022. Due to the inflation and things like that, they've kind of come back and they're like, hey, about 3.5, 3.6 is probably where they're going to be at the end of the year. So it's basically come full circle, right? And it's kind of before COVID, we were sitting about 3.5 to, you know, 3.75 as an interest rate before COVID. So it's kind of correcting itself and bringing it back to a normal market, if you will.
If you think about it, anything, honestly, in my opinion, anything below 4% interest is kind of like, it's good money to buy. But you were talking about this the other day, like we both bought houses in 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. right? And my interest rate was like 6.2%.
Yeah. Mine was 6.5. I thought I won the lottery.
Yeah.
Because I had exceptional credit. I got 6.5%. And I bought with no hesitation in the '80s. It was like 14, 15, 16.
Right. And I think like I was in, when we were in, we're taking some class, I think we were taking GRI class, and one of the instructors was telling us, you know, what interest rates were back in the 70s and 80s. And it was just like,
it was 11, nuts.
12, 13, 14%. I'm like,
it's like putting your house on a credit card.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
And people would say, well, the houses, you know, there were $70,000, $80,000 back then. Yeah. But percentages don't, you know, that doesn't really change. I mean, that's still a lot. It's like 3 times the amount that we pay right now in interest rates.
No doubt.
So, imagine if you look at your principal and interest payments right now on your mortgage statement every month. If you look at the number that goes to get paid to interest at a 4% rate, you know, whatever your rate is, just think about that. And then try to figure the math out of what it would be that you'd be paying towards interest at 11%. It'd be ridiculous. Right. You'd be throwing
just,
up. You'd be
just times it by 3.5.
Right. It's crazy. Right?
That'd be the quickest way to math it. But yeah, it's just so if you're thinking about buying a house this year, I would recommend, or even in the next year or two, I'd recommend you look at doing it this year. Money's still cheap, but we see, I was at Costco the other day, and for 6 New York steak strips, it was $98.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what kind of cow that came from, but brisket, $100.
Yeah.
Ribeyes were like $89 for 4 of them. It's just nuts. Prices are going through the roof. So, you know, house prices are going to continue to rise. The home builders, they've been steadily doing the sell two houses, raise the price. Sell two houses, raise the price. So if they sell 4 or 5 houses in a week, the prices have gone up 2 to 2.5 times, right? And so interest rates are ticking back up to a normal area, but they could crest the 3.5 and push forward a little bit more. So buying now would give you the best opportunity to get in before things start to get hotter. I think that might be playing part of the role on more houses coming on the market this winter than normal.
If we can increase inventory, it'll help, you know, slow the bleed a little bit. We just don't have the inventory. It's 56% down on inventory is what List Reports was saying on a report yesterday in my email. I get an email from List Reports like every day, and one of the news articles that was on there was about the inventory, and that may have been a nationwide number because I didn't really open the right thing. But I mean, if you just think about that, a 56% reduction in inventory, that's terrible.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people also are kind of hesitant because I have so many people ask me, Dave, you know, I want to buy, but I want to wait for the bubble to hit. There is no bubble.
Yeah, coming. There's not going to.
And here's why. I've been doing a lot of studying on this since COVID hit. And a lot of people were concerned that when everybody entered into the forbearance program, that there's going to be a lot of foreclosures. Well, there's not even nearly anywhere near the number. They expected almost 9 million people, I think it was, 9 million households to hit the forbearance plan.
Yeah.
It was somewhere around 2.4. So already less than what was expected. Mm-hmm. All but about 890,000 houses are out of the forbearance plan. And they're saying that almost 95% of those houses have enough equity to where they can sell the house without having to pay to get out of it, it going to foreclosure or being a short sale. So they're not projecting really any kind of impact on foreclosures through the forbearance plan. Yeah. So get that out of your head. I've looked at like 7 or 8 different sources,
yeah,
whether it be CoreLogic, Realtor.com, National Association of Realtors, a couple independents and things like that. Everybody's saying that there's not going to be a wave of foreclosures. There's not going to be a housing bubble. And here's the reason why there's not going to be a housing bubble. We're about 4 million houses short across the nation, right? So we have a simple economic supply and demand. That's why the prices are going so high, right? We're 4 million houses short as a nation because of the housing crisis that we had. We didn't have a bubble. We had a housing crisis in 2008, that area there, because, you know, if Steven had was a lender and he needed a house to appraise for a certain dollar amount, he would call his favorite appraiser. This is me, for example. Hey, Dave, I need this house to appraise for this dollar amount. Okay, cool. Right? There's no comps or nothing like that. Yeah. Yep, it appraised. Also, oh, you have a heartbeat? You got a job? How much you want?
Yeah.
All right? So we did a lot of stuff to cause that issue. Okay? I think it was somewhere around 15 million people. Households lost their homes through short seller foreclosure or deed in lieu ofs during that time period. Well, what happened is the government stepped in. Like, so Steven is a lender. He has to call an 800 number. That 800 number finds the next appraiser on standby, right? So it's not you know, calling up your bud to make something appraised. So the appraisals are more legit, if you will. Yeah. They've increased the requirements to for documentation for being approved for loans and stuff like that. So the loans that are coming out now, they're good, right? They qualify at that time versus hypotheticals or, hey, this is at a zero here or whatever was going on in the 2007, 2008 era.
They're doing like no document loans too, like zero stipulation.
And the other thing they're doing, they were doing balloon payments, right? Yeah. Like, hey, you can get in here for like, it's only going to cost you $500 a month to own this house.
Yeah.
But hey, in 4 years, you're going to owe $75,000.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't have that, right?
Right.
So that was causing a lot of the issues too. Well, what happened is during like 3 years during that crisis, pretty much all the building stopped, mm-hmm. right? So everything that would have been built in 3 years is behind. And now we've got is like the generation, the millennials, right? 26 to what, 35 now? They're in their prime for first-time home buying. So they're flooding this market, right? And so you got the baby boomers that are trying to downsize a little bit. You got the millennials that are trying to buy. Right behind them is the next generation coming in of buyers. And so the builders can't keep up. Then you add COVID to the situation. We've got all the building and labor shortages and things like that for supplies. And so it's creating a bottleneck. So you have all these buyers coming, not a lot of inventory. Prices are going up. There's not going to be a bubble. I don't have a magic eight ball, but I'm in this research all the time. If you go to my YouTube channel, every day I'm posting content about the market and things about buyers, things about sellers. So you can get the information you need so you can feel confident in your purchasing decision. The time is now if you're going to buy, because it's only going to get worse the longer this work shortage continues. It's only going to get worse the more that the material shortages happen and stuff like that. So if you're thinking about buying, be confident in buying today. Real estate's probably the best investment you can make right now. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not giving financial advice, but I'm not dumping anything into my 401ks and I'm buying a bunch of real estate.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm making money hand over fist in equity. As long as it stays that way, I'm doing pretty good. In a year, I've made, in one property, I've made over $200,000 in equity. Another one, I've made about $70,000 in equity.
And it's less than a year old. That's the funny part. It's like,
I closed on it just in June, built it. Right? So the one I got $200,000 equity in, I'll have owned it for 2 years in August. So I'm at 18 months, less than 18 months. I've made $200,000 on in equity. And then the another house I purchased, I closed on at the end of June, and I'm already up about $70,000-$80,000 right now on that. I just bought some land in Wyoming just to sit on it to let some equity grow on there and then eventually build something out there. But I got land in Delaware too. I got land in West Virginia. So it's just, I'm making more money in real estate than I am the stock market.
Yeah, well, the wealthy people in the world own tons of real estate, right? So it's not a, it's an easily proven fact. And the weird saying that people say is like, they're not making any more land. Well, that's a weird saying anyways.
Cause it's true though.
Land isn't made.
It's scarce.
But it's very, like, owning property is, you know, becoming less and less. More people are buying up more tracts of land. All these big billionaires right now, Bill Gates and all them, the Zuckerbergs of the world, they're buying, like, I think Zuckerberg just bought most of a section of a Hawaiian island. I can't even remember the name of the island. There's like five main ones, right? And so he bought up like a large swath of that. And then, you know, Meta, Facebook just leased out 33 floors of the tallest high rise in Austin. So they just signed a lease on that. 33 floors. It's a 66 floor building. And Facebook just leased the whole thing out. So that's coming as a change to, so for Austin.
Right.
That's going to change.
It's going to push down here
everything
too.
Around.
So I mean, that's, you got 33 floors. All right, just imagine there's 100 people per floor. That's 3,300 new jobs being created. That's more inventory coming. There's so, and in all of its tech, they're probably going to be able to do most of their work from remote. And a lot of that space is probably server space and things like that. You know, it just, what I've been explaining to people, because they're like, hey, you know, how's San Antonio doing strong? Everybody's going to Austin. There's a lot of tech companies coming. Mm-hmm. And in Austin, you can buy a house. You can buy the same house here in San Antonio, New Braunfels area for almost six figures less. Yeah. So they're coming down here and buying their houses on the, you know, hopes that if they have to drive 1 or 2 days a week to Austin, they'll just spend the hour in the car to save six figures. I would. That's a good investment, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So one of my clients lives in Seguin, works in Austin, goes to Austin every day. So he just hops on 10, cuts across 130, and is right there in Austin pretty quick. So the market here is good. Investing in real estate is good. I did a video about using an FHA loan or your VA loan to purchase multifamily units up to four doors. Like FHA, you know, you can get an FHA loan, put 3.5% down, buy a fourplex. Right. Yeah. But the rent for three of the units on that fourplex have to cover the mortgage. They won't even income qualify you. You just have to have enough in reserves for 6 months reserves. Yeah. But as long as that that property and three units can cover itself, because they do a 25% vacancy rate. So if you have three
units, it's like a credit towards your income, right?
Right. And so they'll do a special appraisal and things like that. I don't want to get too much into that. We can do a special podcast just on investing with the FHA loan and the VA loan and getting into rental properties and stuff like that and building generational wealth through real estate. And that's what I'm doing. I'm building generational wealth through real estate.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. The stuff has come. The Cybertruck factory, or not Cybertruck factory, the Gigafactory for Tesla is right there on the 130 toll road. I don't know if anybody has been by it. I went by it late last year, 2021, and it was almost, it seemed to me, in the final stages of completion. And if any of you guys have seen that place, it is massive. It seems like you just keep driving, and there's still like Tesla building on the side. Like, it's right. Crazy. I don't remember how many jobs, but it's thousands of employees are going to be in that building. And they're going to be building the Cybertruck. I don't know if they're going to be doing anything else, maybe some battery, something going on there. But it's supposed to be massive, a lot of economic growth for that area. So anything that's, you know, happening 45 minutes away from us is going to definitely impact.
No doubt.
How we're living
there. But San Antonio, they're trying to bring a lot of tech jobs here too. So, I mean, there's cranes everywhere now.
You can always judge the growth of a city or how well economic-wise a city's doing by counting the cranes in the skyline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always heard that. I'm not a commercial realtor at all. I actually don't know that much about commercial real estate because there's a lot to it. But I've talked to a couple of people that strictly do commercial, and there's a lot of big projects coming. We just saw that, I don't know, this morning. I don't know what's going to go there, but the Alamo story thing. I wonder what was going to be built or what was planned to be built there, but that was supposed to be some buildings.
I don't think they're building anything because it's actually on the plaza.
Yeah.
That's a protected area. I think they're just trying to do some renovations to Alamo and doing some stuff there on the plaza versus another structure being put there. But if you didn't hear, they found 156 bodies.
That's what the guy on TikTok. Now, this is a TikTok video, so don't take it word for word. But right. We were watching a TikTok video this morning, and the guy was like talking about how they had stopped construction because they ran across like a mass grave of like over 150 bodies. Which, in the comments section, it kind of said, he kind of retracted a little bit of what he said and corrected it and said that there was an old church there, so that was probably the cemetery for the church. Nothing's been confirmed, but that's just kind of crazy. Like, now they've got to figure out who all those people are and where they belong. So, obviously, they probably belong right where they're at. You know what I mean?
Leave it alone.
Plant some grass.
Throw some deuces,
Say
a couple prayers so the ghosts don't follow you, and call it a day.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe make a little memorial out there for the unknown or something. Right. But yeah, so, so 2022 is going to be a big year. We're doing a lot of different things with boosting our services to our clients with that truck and stuff, and I'm pretty excited about 2022.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me is I definitely want to I want to take a minute really quick and kind of let everybody know what's going on with the podcast coming for this year. In the past, this podcast has really been kind of geared towards buyers and sellers and just an informative real estate podcast. But we've made a decision to kind of change it up a little bit, actually a lot. And what we would like to do to further improve the industry. Because at the end of the day, this industry is all about making sure that the clients that we work for are taken care of the best way possible. And the best way for us to do that is to help educate other agents and help inspire and motivate other real estate agents, people that are trying to get their license, people that already have their license. That'll be our target audience. And if we can improve upon the motivation and inspiration and education of other agents by bringing on professionals that are like top producers in the industry, I honestly believe that that's the quickest way for us to make an impact in the industry. Right. And so
you always got to continuously seek self-improvement.
And that's what real estate agents do. We're always looking for ways to market our business, to make our clients happier, to do the work that we do easier, faster, better. And I feel like we spend a lot of time researching ways to be better.
Right.
And I do a lot of listening on podcasts, and I kind of like snapped one day and I was like, wait a minute. We're marketing to the wrong people.
Right.
If we want to improve our industry, let's bring in the top industry people and talk to them.
Well, we're always getting phone calls and texts from certain brokerages anyway, so might as well just bring them on here and help serve that. So
yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to give back to every part of the community, whether it be the clients and agents, whoever, vendors, everybody that's a partner in real estate. I think I don't want the show to become like a marketing platform for specific brokerages or companies, but I do want to know what is going on with the agents and like why are they so good at what they do and what drives them? Because there's a lot of bad practices out there and a lot of agents that have some bad habits and are looking to improve. And I think we might be able to shed some light, one agent at a time and figure out what makes them tick. Yeah. I like it. what else?
Hey, I see you put your keyboard back together.
I did. Sometimes when the cat's away, the mice will play. So I come in the other day. I don't know if you guys saw the TikTok video, but there was my keyboard was just completely smashed up.
And I pulled everything. I pulled every key off except for a few numbers. I left 867-5309. So that way Steven could call Jenny if he needed
somebody. You got to call her.
I think that's about it, huh? So you want to tell them, like, when they're watching this live, they can ask questions and we can.
Yeah, so with the new format, I mean, the shows are all going to be live. The podcast itself, the audio portion of this is going to get pushed out. I mean, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on like all the major podcast platforms. But so that audio will be separate, but I'm going to push the video. It's going to stay on the Facebook account. Videos are going to get posted to YouTube. Once I figure out what happened with the software, I'll figure it out here in a little bit. We're going to be able to simultaneously stream to Facebook and YouTube at the same time. Actually, multiple platforms, but I want to kind of start out with those two. But you guys can send in live comments and questions while we're actually active on the show. But please just remember that there's about a 35-second delay between what's happening right now and by the time that the listeners see it.
Right. Right now I'm doing like a little hand wave. You can't see it. But in a few seconds, you're going to be like, why is Dave doing this hand wave?
Well, they'll see it in real time, but it'll just be like.
Is it really real time if there's
It wasn't delayed? Really real time. It was delayed. Yeah. It's got to go through the atmosphere, right? So that's kind of the way that the show can go. And we'll pull up those questions so that you guys can ask us. I would like to set it up to where they could call in, too, because I can bring them in on the roadcaster, and they can actually talk to us on the show live if they'd like to do that. So we're going to change the show up. It's going to be a little bit more interactive. We're going to go live every single week this time. We're dedicating ourselves. We're going to hold each other's feet to the fire for sure to make sure that we get this done because I think it's important.
Fire.
Yeah. And it's a fun thing for me to do because I'm a nerd when it comes to gadgets and tech. And I don't know. I got really frustrated earlier because I was trying to get all the software to work and the iPad kept crashing.
He almost, like, I saw a little tear. Yeah. And he sucked it back up. Marine Corps sucked it back up. It was kind of crazy. But
yeah, I was a little angry. But overall, I mean, we've got a new layout and I'm excited about it. And you guys can also just like send us private messages and we'll we'll go back to those on the next episode, and we'll cover those questions the last episode or questions like that.
Maybe we start our sessions with some Q&A that.
Yeah, and I can put up like a poll on the thing to where I can start a poll and I can just say, hey, look, we can ask the question and people can actually answer it.
I wonder if the delay is because we're doing the closed caption as well.
I think that's a setting for your individual self, like on your device. Mm. So if you can't have the sound going, like say if you're at work and you're at your computer and you're watching the show live, like it'll actually, you can turn the comments on and off, like captions. Like I can turn it on right here. Captions auto generated on. Yeah. So I can change it.
Learning new things.
That's pretty cool. And it's also great for the deaf and hearing impaired.
There you go.
So, please, just a quick recap. If you know anybody, or if you yourself are like a top producing real estate agent, please reach out to us, because we would love to have you come on the show and just kind of talk about real estate and some best practices and success stories that you've had, and what kind of got you into real estate and why you keep trucking along. And if you know like some industry professionals that really make your team stand out or something like that, that gives you a bonus, like we can try to get that all coordinated together and do it all in one show. We had in the past, we had done like lenders and insurance companies and stuff like that, and which I don't think that that's something that we want to get away from, because I think like maybe once a quarter or something like that.
Well, it's all educating fellow people about the programs that are out there, changes, things like that.
And I think like these companies, these vendors that we use, these industry partners are super important to the daily things that we do with real estate, because if not for the network partners that we have, I mean, we really wouldn't be able to do the job that we do. So if you want to shout out somebody or refer them to us, we'd love to have them do a real quick interview to make sure that they kind of fit the narrative. And then we'll bring them on the show and we'll do a live show and we'll have some fun with it. But we can bring on like four guests at one time. I have that ability. I mean, I could technically bring on more, but the sound quality gets kind of bad when we just do a shotgun mic.
Right.
And the room is kind of
echoey.
And there's background noise that we got going on with jets flying over the office all the time.
Air Force, always trying to Air Force.
And then we have meetings going on in the conference room next door. So,
yeah. But hey, even if you're like not here, like Steven said, you don't have to be here. Like, let's say you're a top producing agent in Fairbanks, Alaska, right? You can call in and we can just do you through the phone and interview that way too. So,
yep. Yeah, so if you're looking on the screen right now, we have the ability to bring in somebody else on the next screen. So we can split the screens out so we can have the conversation and have them on. And so it's just like them being live with us. The audio quality will be great, so it's not a big problem. So so that's kind of what we got going on. Cool. And check us out. If you guys would do us a favor, make sure you subscribe to the San Antonio Realty Pros podcast, because that's going to help generate a little bit more interaction with our page. And if you're not following the San Antonio Realty Pros podcast on Facebook, I would appreciate if you guys would like and follow the page so that the way when we do go live, you'll be able to catch the show and you'll get YouTube notifications. Also. Yeah, YouTube as well. And then in the future shows, when we are streaming on those platforms, I'll be putting up the information on the bottom of the screen. Like right now in the lower third, you see the San Antonio Realty Pros podcast Facebook link. And we'll be putting the YouTube links and all that stuff so that you guys can know where to find us at. But we're pretty easy to find. You just type in San Antonio Realty Pros podcast. But yeah, man, other than that, I think we got this done. That was pretty cool. If you guys need stuff like that made, there's this company called Sticker Mule that's really easy to use. And
they're not a jackass to work with.
Right. Well, they have a jackass for a logo. It's funny. They even have their own Tabasco sauce. It's called Mule Sauce. Mm. It's not bad.
Does it give you a kick?
A little bit.
There you go.
It's a small kick.
All right.
But we appreciate you guys. And, you know, we look forward to continuing the show and doing more. So
here's to 2022.
Yeah, absolutely. Catch you guys later.
Are we done?